It is 5:36 on November 19th, and you will call the Department of Support.
Annabelle Nunez? Carlos Portillo? Jaime Tadeo? Jerry Flannery? Kate Calhoun? Nancy Huff? Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
So a report from the chair. I don't have anything to report at this time. And we'll go on to, item number two, approval of the LAR and the meeting from October 15th. I need a motion to approve or any comments?
I move to approve the LAR report for April 1st, October.
I don't know, can I? Yes, I can do that. Maybe just not vote, but I can do motions. Yes. Jeez, I didn't have all my training hours.
There's
no kind of voting then. Not a voting number, yes. So I, you don't
care anything else to learn.
I don't have all my training hours.
I get the direction from.
So then that means that it's 2-4 quorum. It's, she counts towards quorum, but for voting, it's two. Yeah.
So, got an approval of the LAR in the meeting minutes. I second.
Annabelle Nunez?
Aye.
Kate Calhoun?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. From the chairperson, I'm going to pass that up. And we six, Tucson Police Department, according to the provisions of the state, public public meeting law, we have been listed on the agenda and the voters to allow Tucson Police Department to present a brief summary of current events pursuant to provisions of CRS section 38-431.02. The board may not propose, discuss, deliberate, or take action at this meeting on any matter. Any updates on a specific matter is properly noticed for legal action and subsequently.
Okay, and in lieu of current events, we have all of our captains here, so we just wanted to give them the opportunity to introduce themselves to you and put some faces to the names so you know who they are. So, Dominic.
Yes, thank you. You can start. Dominic Flores, I've been with Team 8 for 24 years now. I recognize some faces. I got to Team 1 in July 28th, now for about just over 3 months now. And what else can I tell you? Born and raised here in Tucson, first generation American, two kids, two boys. People that also were born and raised here in Tucson. And
that's it. Hi.
Favorite food? Chicken enchiladas, friend?
In the morning, he likes donuts because I'm ready for eating stuff.
I do like, Van Lutzen, big fat Van Lutzen.
Yep.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
And what part of policing is either your specialty or do you really like? I got things.
So, you know what's funny about me is that, other than my parents, I had a really hard time leading patrol. My entire career, I was like, I'm going to be a patrol officer my entire career. Somehow became a sergeant. I blame my wife for that. And then I was like, well, I'm going to be a patrol sergeant for my entire career. And became a commander in patrol. And I was like, well, I'll figure out a way I'll be the first to just stay a patrol commander. And that didn't work out. So if I had a specialty, I would say is that my heart and soul is in patrol. It's actually being associated, either doing things directly with the patrol officer would or being right next to them. That is where I find my most of my happiness as a member of Tucson.
Thanks.
Operations Division West.
Hello. I think I know my name. My name is Lauren Petty. I'm a
captain of Operations Division West, which is, do you guys know the boundaries? No? Okay. So Campbell is a dividing line. So I essentially have everything that's west of Campbell. We go up to River, way far west to the county line over there. And then I also have the downtown area, but like 22nd, that's where I border at Dominic's division. So the largest patrol division, because we have downtown, it used to have its own standalone division. So it's been an operations division west. So I'm based out of the substation at Miracle Mile in Roy Wells. I've been on the department almost 16 years, and I just promoted to Intel State at the end of July, and I got put in the west side. It's really cool for me to be back there because I was an officer there, sort of working the streets, having a lot of fun, and then I was also a lieutenant there for about 8 months. So it feels like I'm back at home. So that's my home base. My career, I've done a lot of really cool things, working undercover, I'm in several capacities, narcotics, prostitution, to being a detective, the background in supervision with detective, sergeant assignments. I'm almost done with my master's. I literally have 3 more weeks left, and I'll be done. That's through the University of Virginia, so I'm really excited about that.
Congratulations. Thank you. And
Midtown.
So, afternoon, everyone. My name's Adam Kuhn. I'm the Midtown Division Captain. I'm the newest captain of the group. I was just promoted in September. So this is my first captain assignment. Born and raised here in Tucson. Majority of my career here with the department over the last almost 18 years was with SWAT. Did 12 of the 18 years there. My patrol time was in the West Division on the South Side. So the Midtown Division, which I currently have, I never actually worked in as a patrol officer or supervisor. Our division boundaries are everything between Campbell and Craycroft, and then north to the city limits along River, and then south just past Davis Mark. Question?
And what policing do you enjoy most?
I'd say in the past, I did enjoy my time on the team, SWAT, with just the camaraderie with the people, the action, the excitement. That was many, many weeks ago. So happy to be where I'm at.
All right, Team 4, East Side.
Hi, everyone. My name is Belinda Morales. I'm the captain of the East Side. The East Side is Craycroft, everything east of Craycroft, north and south, just everything east of that. I've been there since February. I was promoted in February. This is my first assignment as a captain. My first time out in the East Side, actually. I didn't grow up on the East Side. I've never worked on the East Side. So it's new and it's exciting to me. I think my favorite part since I've been assigned to the East Side was working with the community. Very supportive community out there. They're not afraid to get to work and help out their police department out there. So I really appreciate the next site. I'm excited to be working with them with a number of community complaints, and I find them to be motivating and inspiring just because they've offered us so much help and they're not afraid to get in the weeds with us. So I've been on the department for 17 years. I have 2 kids that are probably wanting to know where their dinner is right now. And I got to get there before dad because it'll be fast food of some sort. So 2 kids, it's a busy job. I enjoy the East Side. I enjoy being here. I had a lot of past experience with CPARP as I've been assigned to OPS for a total of 6 years in my time with the Tucson Police Department. So very familiar with what you guys do. I appreciate the work that you guys put in as well. But I'm happy to be here and open to answering questions that you guys have. So.
All right. That's your division commanders. You see a lot of experience, a great team. Hopefully you won't see them too much. Presenting cases. Thank you for being here.
Before you leave, I just want to mention, Keith, I think I've had the pleasure of working with everybody, and they're amazing. In various capacities, I've worked with them, so we've had a wonderful leadership team, and just to the 2 of you, I've worked with many of these folks for a few years in different capacities in my job. So it'll be a pleasure. Thank you.
Come by, and we'll let you get home and anonymate the ones who stay.
Oh,
Not amazing, but I'll take the side of my implant.
Yeah, you can take out your arm. That's pretty cool.
Okay.
OBS,
right?
I think I made one.
That's my
goal. That's your own?
That's
something
there.
What area?
National City, 6.
Then, National City, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
EHS.
Michigan.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Both going to Pueblo. My mom sent me home. You can't see it, but that's your story. Actually, with the next city of South Point, we're going to figure it out. But all my thing was, you were 6 miles. You're going to get the air. So I didn't argue with her. I went to South Point, and she was probably right.
Okay, yeah, it's navigate
clean. Yeah.
That's all
straight.
Thank you. Camp Lakeville, do you have an OPS update? Or?
The thing that I've got is, like, the next one half a few months, we've got a lot of turnover. Looks like it's striking again in January. We're probably going to lose 2 more folks for promotion. So we'll be looking to produce additional people in probably in the spring. In the early summer. Caseload-wise, if you check our cases today, we're floating around 140 open cases, some of which are in OPS and some of which are in actually a big variety.
All right. So let's go back to item number 5 on the agenda, the review of CDC investigation. And in accordance with Section 10A-88F of the Mayor Council mandate, the board may only review those charges specified in the investigation in order to comment on the fairness and thoroughness of the internal investigation and to report any concerns regarding that investigation as specified in the investigation. Our first case is number 23-0261. This occurred on October 10, 2023, and this is the special investigation unit, the gun intel unit. And this was loss damages, non-departmental property. Do you have any comments on this one? This is the very large fire.
This was a very large fire.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I someone was sucking out the complaint, which was just the missing money, which was not a, the same amount that the female owner because it's doing instead of to what the other gentleman said. So I'm just curious if we needed all of that video.
My thought process, and we probably did because there were many events that were involved. Well, SWAT was involved in it, but I'll tell the food and you all.
That was
interesting. No, I think to your point, I mean, because of the nature of the allegations, probably want to have as many eyes as we could on that to either, you know, confirm or refute the allegations. So I appreciated the amount of video and the what the Chan Pan was able to review in that case, which ultimately didn't necessarily help, but I would rather have more than less. So,
yeah. I agree. Going over this, there were 303 pages plus all the videos, and the majority, when I first was looking at the case, I'd seen that the initial complaint was missing money. And then it got into Jack in the Box and this guy in the white truck, but it wasn't his truck, and then shooting at the man's house. And then, oh, he had spent 14 years in jail. And anyway, I'm reading all of this, you know, sort of like a novel. And then, you know, it's like, what about the money? And then way hours later, it's, you know, about, oh, it's about $2,000 that was in the truck that got towed away. So, again, with Annabelle, we were discussing earlier a little bit. Yeah, did we need to know all of that background? I suppose we did, and that's why it's all there. But it just seems to me it was so many hours of police valuable time in just what we're looking at, let alone the whole investigation, so many man, labor hours, dollar hours of valuable time
to get down to the nuts and bolts of where's the $2,000 or the 1980 because he spent 20 on gas. Did anybody look into, did she actually take $2,000 out of Wells Fargo? Rather, they found the envelope, but not the $2,000. So anyway, those are my thoughts on the time spent. 300 pages worth of information, video cam got downloaded. Was that all relevant to the missing $2,000?
There was a lot of input that we were having.
Yeah.
Having been an OPS myself for a couple of years, sometimes it's difficult to narrow the complainant in on their interview and for them to keep them from going off on tangents that are irrelevant to the point of their complaints. So you have to sift through that information. I, as sort of one of the final checks, do get a little frustrated myself in trying to sift through that because I want to get to the crux of the issue and like deal with the bottom line here. But
yeah. Don't want to have opportunities for dispute.
Exactly. And so with that, too, as I was reviewing this, I was wanting to go through those finer point details. And part of my review, having, you know, briefly been a detective, having been an OPS investigator, I was wanting to find what were the discrepancies and the inconsistencies between the statements of those two complainants. So there was a lot of, because there was so much data to sift through, I actually did appreciate that I had that there to come to a conclusion that it was unsubstantiated and unfounded. So even though there was a ton, it helped me in the end to, you know, help with the unsubstantiated finding.
And maybe I missed it, but was there ever a resolution on if the 2000 was ever found?
And, no, there wasn't. And if you look at, I mean, my impression, there were a lot of inconsistencies in the story. I mean, you come right down to it. She reported that it was in the black vehicle. He reported that it was in the white vehicle. They reported two different amounts. They reported that she reported that she brought it to the house. He said that he brought it to the house. And so there was just a lot of inconsistency in their story. But yes, the money was never found. Exactly.
I noticed in their statements they would say, and then we locked the truck. And then we locked the truck. I was like, oh, just for
some Alabama.
Yep.
I'd like to make a motion to approve case number 23-0261 on the federal therapy resolution.
Second.
Senator Bill. Annabelle Nunez?
Aye.
Kate Calhoun?
Aye.
Madam Chair, we have motion passes. Sorry.
Okay, so Case number 23-0141. This event occurred on April 17th, it was the east side, and it was rudeness, expected conduct towards the public, and this place was with regards to a dog that had to be returned to family members.
And there was being two cases. But just still with this bridge criminal and spot on the term of the one officer came over pretty well. To the house to do an investigation and then just immediately just let them out on the individual side of the story. But not necessary. In my very humble opinion.
Well, I always have opinions, Tony. You know, I always have
opinions. Opinions are good.
Something. When officers, and I've done ride-alongs where guys have your screens, and it's with a sergeant in particular I'm speaking of, and he's got to send officers here, there, and there, and then the, you know, priority of the cases. And I, as much as, gosh, you guys are patient and kind and much more than I could or would ever be, I think he had a right to be a little short-tempered with the way the individuals in the garage were treating him about the dog handoff, treating the officer about the dog handoff. I think knowing that he's got a stabbing he's got to go through or whatever else might be more of a priority, I see why he could be a little short with them. But again, your training is that you've got to be calm and you've got to take those four breaths and hold them. And so, I see sort of the other side, that he had a right to be like, this is ridiculous.
Not to the individuals, though, so.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of backstory. So there was a lot of emotional feeling that.
Sure. The ex-wife and who owns the dog is and give the dog back. And to have to call officers or the therapist and be trying to take care of this silliness that adults, rational adults, should have handled themselves. So I can understand why the officer might be a little short-tempered. But I think he was fine. But again, that's my personality, is I'm always the honest, kindest person. Right, Tim?
You're better.
For them when a dog has to be handed off.
So I understand the frustration that you're expressing. We're talking about a dog, but two greyhounds that I love dearly, that I adopted, and that will have family. So when it comes to pets, I get very protective of pets, and I can understand where this would spin out of control, because some people, their pets are the extension of their family and they are like their children. So, and that will roll into the next one, but
I'll be
looking forward to the next one.
It's been very thematic.
I didn't know what it was.
No, you never know.
So, would you like to comment on that? On this fan throw?
Sure, I'll make a motion. There's no further comments on case number 23-0141 and find that the work was done thoroughly and fairly and.
Right, I'll tell you that.
Annabelle Nunez? Hey, Calhoun. Motion passes.
So case number 23-0325, this occurred on July 6, 2023, and this happened in Midtown, and it was failure to investigate, and we also have a restorative supervision with this particular case, as I had mentioned earlier, pets are very important to me, and I was dumb at the video of the officer kind of doing a quick drive-by. Certainly was not a knock and talk to look out for the best interest of the animal, and I understand that PAC was involved, and I understand there are pressing cases of people who could be stabbed and who could be shot. This is an animal that is being abused, and I was very upset after seeing that video. The officer just kind of tapping and walking away, not making any attempts to investigate.
I would add that I think the neighbor had a genuine interest in investigating
sort of a follow-up in that statement and provided the evidence to be able to find. So I think there are good people out there that can go through the effort. So I think for a drive-by, for whatever reason, that didn't wait to hear a response, or I think it happened at about
7:23 p.m. No, later. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, this was about 7. Okay. She called in at 2 p.m. 10 hours earlier. So there's a 10-hour delay between when he got the call and went to it, and then showed up at, I thought it was 0057 or something. So, yeah, midnight, 1 o'clock. 10 hours after the call. And didn't hear anything, and knew that Humana Control was supposedly on it. So yeah,
that's the tough part. Is because he made the case for not being allowed, not wanting that
because of the hour. And not hearing anything, not hearing either human or animal sounds coming from the apartment. And being 10 hours delayed from when the call came in. So he has no idea if it's just a minor hurting the dog 10 hours prior, and now maybe things have calmed down. So, again, there's so many ways to look at this. And again, I seem to side on the side of the police officer, knowing Puma Animal Control is involved, not hearing the dog whimpering or being hurt at that time and having it be 10 hours later, and him not wanting to make a lot of noise because of the proximity of the other neighbors. So I'm looking at that side.
I had a couple of questions, and this might come up later in my training. I'm only sort of doing the online component, but what does J. John mean?
J John is just to show what we did while we were there as the officer. So we, just in this case, we knock on the door, we don't make any contact. It shows that we responded, knocked on the door, and we left. Nobody answered the door type of thing. It can also be something I was driving down the road. A call comes in about an object in the roadway. Officer responded. I moved a tire out of the roadway. It just documents what the officer did. It's nothing too extreme. It just shows that the officer was there.
Tony, is that still just in the computer system, or is that basically when it doesn't rise to the level of a case report?
Correct.
It goes back to our old system when we would get dispatched to call on a computer. We would clear it, and so we could track it using the databases at that time. If we did a case report, you cleared it with an A, Adam, and you enter an A, and that told the computer a case report was done on that call entry, so someone knew to look for it. If there was an arrest made, it would be a C. That says there was a case report and somebody was arrested. If an officer gets a call, suspicious activity, they respond, they don't find anything, they would make a note in the computer. Hey, I responded. I looked around. I didn't see anything. And put a J or John, the phonetic code, to indicate no case report was written. There was no contact made with anybody. This is not. So there wouldn't be any documentation to follow up on later.
Okay.
And that terminology has stuck with us through the years. I think they're still clearing it with those essential codes in the system. But that's what it's a computer code that we've turned into police conference.
Thanks for clarifying that. What's the relationship between the animal control and the police?
They're a county criminal justice agency.
So are they like sheriffs?
They're not sheriffs. They're not sworn police officers. So a sheriff is a sworn Arizona Post-certified peace officer, just like we are. An animal control would be more like code enforcement or parking enforcement. They're a law enforcement entity, and they have certain powers given to them through statute and county regulations, but they don't have the power, to make arrests or investigate certain crimes like we do. They enforce animal-related violations.
Okay.
Is there instruction at the academy with regards to canine abuse or animal abuse, and how, you know, there are protocols and policies in place for community involvement when something like that occurs?
Or just handling an animal cruelty case?
Yeah.
Each division has a neighborhood crime section that handles animal cruelty cases.
Okay.
So it's a detective assigned in each division that would handle those cases.
Okay. And then, because it sounds like this neighbor had contacted the before the July 6th drive-by walk line. Was there a detective that was assigned to it?
It was after the fact. So after that, Animal Control was also involved. So they gave them an autopsy, which is to find out what caused the animal's death. And that goes to our neighborhood crime section. So that was Detective Greg Short who received that and found out there was nothing else to further investigate that. It does talk about a ruptured stomach, but a ruptured stomach occurs after death. Okay.
Certain elements, correct.
But with all that, we could not prove anything else for the abuse. So that's why Pima Animal Patrol, on the day the officer knocked on that door, Pima Animal Patrol had already cited that owner, correct?
So the owner was cited? That's
correct. So in going
back, you all would not be involved since it's already, you would pass it with the...
So with us, the officer was not aware, it was 10 hours old. So no communication was made between Pima Animal Patrol and the officer who knocked. So that's why we could not prove that the officer did not investigate.
Okay.
So restorative supervision was us talking to that officer and saying, we probably could have taken a step more in contact with Pima Animal Patrol to see, because they had the case initially, he was aware that Pima Animal Patrol was still investigating that.
Okay.
However, we wanted him to go that one extra step.
Okay.
So we didn't see it was a violation, but we do see some improvement for that officer.
Sure.
So we could have taken that extra step.
Okay.
As well as his body-worn camera, since he didn't make any contact. With our rules and procedures, if you come in contact with a person who has a body-worn camera, his policy, what he does is, well, I'll turn it on when I make contact. So, but we had that little, well, if you're knocking on the door, there's a possibility somebody's going to open
it. It was just hard to see that animal impact.
That's very hard to listen to. But with everything, we had to go with what we can prove. And that's what we can prove. That's what Pima Animal Control can prove as well. That's what they were citing. We understand the frustration. We wanted a felony, but all we can prove was the misdemeanors.
Well, the lip was attributed to an old injury.
And that's where they got the owner has decided for failure to take the animal to the veterinarian further treatment. But that's where it gets convoluted because we're trying to prove, is this new? Is this old?
Yeah.
But we've had to go with what Pima Animal Control and what TPD working together can prove.
Mm-hmm. Any other
It's a tough call, right? It's you remember the pictures.
A case 3-0325 found they are resolved. I second.
Annabelle Nunez? Kate Calhoun? Motion passes.
Office of the Independent Police Auditor.
Thank you. On Friday, November 8th, several attendees went to the community sponsored training out at Soletti. We know that two of you are first around in town. Nancy was there. And the training included hands-on firearms, both lethal and less than lethal equipment. And I learned a lot. I learned that Nancy was stay away from her if she has a gun on her head. She was a marksman. Then we did some flash regular use of force training. And that was really enlightening. Some good discussion there. We had just the demonstration of the rep, and that nobody was as straight as Chairperson Calhoun because nobody volunteered to get in. The officers that were there allowed themselves to be wrapped. And they showed us how the wrap supply and talked about the condition under which it would be used and how you lift it, carry it, and put in the police car and remove the police car as well. Then after that, they were in several scenarios that included walking through and having a clear building and a few other scenarios. And I think the takeaway is how quickly something happens while running well on there. So I don't know how you're going to log in the training hours.
I've got the Excel spreadsheet that I shared with you all. So I don't know who attended. If you want to send that to me,
sure.
How many hours?
Sure, I'll send it.
Okay. Was it just Nancy or did?
No. I mean, Carlos.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've been there for part of each. It's both of them have a meeting.
Yeah, you get like the number of hours for each of them.
Sure,
that's your
sure. Okay. Nancy, did you know? You've been riding along still, right?
I haven't since. I haven't this.
Oh, this you have
to tell me? Not yet.
I was going to say, because the scenarios are going to count towards the scenarios required to be able to vote, too. So if you have right along the
technology. Yeah, I'm hoping to take care of that, and I'm just about done with all the online business, and I've been working with Troy Lansdale on that, and I think if I do maybe a ride along or two in the next month by December, I should be completed with everything I need to do. So I just need to get with you or with and I'm going to see Lieutenant Brian Cochran tomorrow night for the Al-Anon meeting, and he had said something about maybe connecting me with somebody for a ride along. So who needs to oversee that for me?
You just report that you did it. I mean, if you've been looking for somebody who's going to hook you up with like
okay.
An officer to drive with, I'm pretty secure here that address the phone numbers that are made for the first sector, but that could be anybody. I mean, we call Chief Peterson, we call captains here. I mean, anybody want to do that. Pick the area you want to go, the hours you want to reach, and you can call me. This is anybody you do.
Okay, just send me your hours so I can log those.
Okay.
Because I have, eight clearly for Friday,
yeah.
And then one of those presentations, so I think if I do probably two six-hour ride-alongs.
You'll be good at that point. Yeah. Absolutely. And the importance of trying to get this done quickly, too, is that Troy, who's been Sergeant Lansdale, who's been very helpful.
He's getting promoted.
Is getting to, so we're going to lose him very soon, and as our liaison to the training coming up soon.
Yeah.
I'll just continue to all of his classroom work, and just in the scenario work as well. And Jerry, I'm not sure where you stand, but I think we told you completed one of the sections, but
so I've got two done, but I didn't tell if I finished it yet. So.
Super.
I'll start coming on.
It'll help to be one that the journey might be like you would have been.
Thanks.
Let's see. What else? Today I went out to Solitzik and it's a training with the community service officers. There are 19 community officers. Community service officers coming on board. I talked to them with OPS and we talked about oversight and ethics and behavior in itself and what to expect from the ethics. It's a good class. It's a good class. It's the 19th. That's good. Thursday, I'm going to be graduating class from. Oops. Yeah. And they are now 22.
19 now.
Oof, even more?
That's our basic training, not post.
Yeah, okay.
Do you need easy post or something?
No.
The basic training, right?
Yeah, Yeah, hey, it was too many hours. So they're definitely, as you serve chief at 19. So hopefully they get on board. It's still a while, of course, before they're able to be out there in their own. So we hope that happens quickly. Hey, before I was a role player at the academy as well. And once again, I talked to you guys doing that if you like. It was an interesting scenario on paper. It's a little different. Easy Post does not require certain scenarios, and a lot of them are pass-fail basis. Before, it was keeping it in craft its own scenario, and it was just learning, and there was no pass-fail. So that pressure wasn't there. Now it's pass-fail, and the pressure is there. And it's felt by not only the participants, but it's felt by the instructors, the evaluators. This is going to graduate. And too big. And you fail somebody and say goodbye to all that previous training. A lot of money and time they've been invested in everybody needs officers on the street. So
they get chance, right?
They make it one chance in a scenario.
I'm into with the role. So if I sign up to do that kind of role playing out there, would that count for hours?
Sure. Absolutely.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, because what you can do is just go watch and not even participate, and that's going to count toward your flight. So if you're participating,
enjoy food. Tell me when things are happening. That
to observe if you are actually doing the flight. They go through Margo Cessna, or you can identify who's like to hear you. Have you put in the letter of interest that you want to
get? You've sent me the link, but
okay.
I haven't filled
it out. Put that in, and there's still a few months out. You have to go to the
background check. Oh, okay.
And there's a limited number of officers that can do that.
Okay.
And obviously, they're going to be running background checks on folks that are going to be coming into the program long before they're going to get to somebody who has to volunteer. So they're looking at February right now. I think they're your letter.
Yeah, I want to be able to vote by December, so quorum and problems like this would happen. So I'll just go cut it right off.
If you're just interested in role playing in general, you can do it as often as you want. So the serial number. Let me just get your paper. So this is your role, this is your role, and male and female, and part of the female, it stands. So the face place in the words, but true. That we're starting is a great time. And the female is in the back stall. And in the front stall is the male role player. There's another response. This is and I said, I'm not going to be running under matches. So after 9 hours, really didn't sign up for that. Well, the mannequin came out. And it was great. So I was the clerk. Told the approaching officer, the customer came out and said, somebody's pissed off. And that one, the lesson was to see how they reacted medically. Obviously, if somebody's passed out for suspected narcotics and they have all kinds of aches and whatnot on the ground, it's kind of obvious. So, what would you think some of the things that would be assessed? I think if somebody's not responsive, suspecting narcotics, what are some of the things you think you'd do?
Okay.
There's one, absolutely. What else? The black CPR, definitely. If you have no breathing pulse, and then in addition to that, they also be AED. So they have to ask for the position of the house, and so they have to go through that. First, they have to go to make sure the bathroom is safe, so they act on the end of the pack, and go just through her. Right? I mean, if they're smart, you could take your time and try to figure out who she is. When you've got somebody laying on the ground, their life is more important. So that was the lesson. There are a lot of, it was definitely the basic because we had to hold quarter police in the airport authorities in there, the Dallas Police Department, the Atlanta Police Department, the Mercy Police Department, and of course, larger looking to the people. So I hope most of the past, we had any failure. In the bathroom scenario, they talk about focus, right, and general focus, and losing the big picture. He went in and saw his person on the ground, and that was it. So didn't even bother to fear the stars. And then the person the waistband, I was told, if they don't go standing, we're going to give you a thumbs up and you're going to come out. And ran up to the officer and see how they respond to that. I didn't tell you, she went right up. In fact, you look at a Q-tip, she got 20 of his ears. She went straight up to him and you got your evaluator had to say, look up to your left. Yes.
Wow.
And she already walked six stalls down. So you can talk about television. That was just bad. So,
yeah, I mean, they've already had this discussion and training, right? They know the scenarios.
Now they step
into what they've
exactly. Just synthesize it exactly. Again, this Thursday. Again, they've had some of it. One of the weaknesses, and I don't know why. I mean, you can tell they're trained very quickly to look, check the weapons, carry weapons on. And then the clerk, they just told you to come over here. Let me ask him a phone. Somebody said, many questions. I said, no, you've got a business. And they went in. But, so they were all very quick to do that. But what most of them did do is, police, anybody in here? Coming in, police. And they didn't announce. Said, can you imagine if you don't announce and you walk in and there's somebody in the back stall and you have your gun out? And the first thing somebody sitting on the toilet's going to see is a handgun coming in. Whoa, that happens potentially. That's pretty dangerous, isn't it? So learning to announce, and again, it's a basic academy. They have a post-basic, but now FTO, and there's still a lot more training to do. But I was really surprised by the fact that announcing them, something not drilled into them so hard that they didn't overkill it. Otherwise, it was good. They have virtual ball players out there, and the officers are very accommodating. And going a lot. So that's why I like it. I mean, the chance to play around the sure, but I like to see how they're being trained, what they're learning, how the new people respond to it. So if you're interested in that, outside of the required training for your 8 hours, let me know.
How many of the officers that are graduating on Thursday are going to TPD?
19.
All 19?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot more graduating, but there's several agencies are there.
Yes.
Roughly
19
or
others. There were 32 that went through the
survey. Okay.
And of those 32, 19 and 19.
Okay.
Well, when you and I were tagging in mates together, very harsh and it's nerve wracking. I mean, and I can see where people get myopic. You know, where it's like you're not thinking the way you're just afraid of what they think. Where you were in front of me, and I just, my heart was going with the dog.
We're a little serious. People get performance anxiety. They get a little nervous. Being observed by everybody is watching them and being able to move.
The car scenario
is
the one that freaks me out.
Yeah, it's a. I appreciate that you
got it. I was just going to say really quick for all the board members here, you really have to do both things to really appreciate, try to get an understanding and appreciation of the job, is to do some role-playing and do some ride-alongs. And I think that's a really good, gives you a really good picture, I think, to see what we do and how we do
it. You were out there at the academy for how long?
I was out there for, I think it was just over 2 years.
Okay.
I couldn't get past basic training, so they just had me out there. I'm just kidding. I was a captain out there training all the training division. Just a little over 2 years. It was a really good experience. It's a good opportunity.
Would you suggest both of those things?
Well,
he knows from whence he speaks.
Telling Mitch that I've done the, I call it the dowsing, but when you go out there and do the female training.
Yeah.
We get picked up, get things up. We have this. I keep asking for that, but...
The wet workshops?
Yeah.
We can let you know the next time a wet workshop comes up.
Right?
You
have to drink alcohol.
Oh, yeah. We'll bring you there. We provide you alcohol. And then we let the people that learn how to do an HCN, horizontal gaze, nystagmus, the test where they check your eyes. So we'll get you up to certain levels, and then they have to test you, and then we'll breathalyze you, so you'll know what it feels like to be a 0.08 or a 0.04.
But they need to show proficiency in determining your blood alcohol level by running your eyes through a test.
And we can pretend.
And it will drive you home.
Like, we're sober and try to fake them out, and not fake them out, but try to.
I mean, you're not there to trick them, but.
Yeah,
they'll let you go through the walk and turn, all the field sobriety tests, and there are some people who aren't drinking, and some people will only have one drink. Some people choose to have several and get up. We don't let you get like wasted, fall down drunk.
I used to. I did it in the 90s. Let me tell you. There's
so many categories. They have heavy drink. They'll have the heavy drinkers, the medium, and the lights. But they don't let the officer know who's who.
Right.
We want them to be able to make determinations. We want people that are below it. We want people that are right at the level and people that are way above it.
And they'll measure your BMI. You'll see.
No. Yeah. Thanks.
That's
they have to maintain a logbook for the rest of their career, showing that they maintain, I believe it's an 85% success rate. And then for the rest of their career, every time they do a gaze on somebody, they have to get the BAC, log it in, whether they're right or wrong, so that when they testify in court, that logbook can be presented to the defense so they can verify the officer knows what they're doing.
How interesting. I'm going to have to train in the morning.
That might have just been a party.
The first couple of you, the first time you drink, a friend of mine did it. He came in and had been drinking the night before. So he couldn't participate until like 2 in the afternoon because he was blowing. So that was from the night before. So that's how long the alcohol will stay in your system.
You started drinking at 8 o'clock?
The second time we did it, it was early.
Well, we do those periodically to certify officers. So that's something you're
and you did a field sobriety. Yeah. And it's not even sober. It's not that easy.
Yeah. Sure, let me know. What drinks do you provide?
Got a full bar.
Yeah, it's a loss.
We took our own the first time, and then cocktails for us.
That's interesting. I mean, you say, can we trick them? Think about it. Every single DUI suspect is trying to trick the officer.
Sure, that's what I'm trying to do.
And it's their physical actions, the way their eyes bounce, or the way they walk. Is betraying them. You know, and they're just saying, no, I have anything to drink.
They want you to do your best on the test. They don't want you to try and fail them on purpose, but then they're not learning anything. Okay. They want you to do your best, try and pass the walk and test it's one leg stand.
Or whatever the normal thing is. I watch cops, so I used to watch cops.
I only went there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
So we should speak to Alex Nunn. We will be there when you have like a time limit.
How old is he? 17.
He's 24.
Oh.
I thought he was 17. We'd love to, and for everyone to do a hang along, we'd love to have you at team one. You'd have a great time.
Yeah, give me your number.
Sure. It's, you want to write it down?
I can do that.
There we go. Okay, it's 520.
Oh, yeah.
270.
Uh-huh.
3784. That's my personal cell. It's the only number I ever use. But if you want to schedule a ride along, give me a call.
Sure, I can text to that number as
well. Yeah, text, call.
Just say, Nancy from State Farm.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got two ride alongs.
Okay.
One from 10 p.m. till 4 a.m., which was enlightening.
Yeah.
A heroin arrest. And I followed it all the way through down to Midtown Station to weigh the drugs from the port, and then down to booking her at Pima County Jail at 3:30 in the morning. Yeah, fascinating.
I still hear that. Right now it's probably a little too cold. The world you're always through with this, but I would say maybe wrap it up by midnight or 10 p.m. That temperature is dropping too late.
Well, they offered to take me home early, but I wanted to see the whole evolution of pulling her over the whole process. And so I was like, no, I'm in this. So, yeah.
Yeah, we'd love to have you out to T1 for sure.
Wonderful. Yes, I'll send you a text. Thank you.
Okay, so item number 8, C-Corp vacancies. We have one vacancy, I believe.
I thought it was two. Yeah, Ward 1 and... Ward 2. And, which
one's
that?
Two.
And Ward 1, which is the same.
Cutting him something.
Was it?
He's on that. I thought you had somebody on deck.
I am meeting the city manager on Friday.
Okay. Item number 9, future agenda items. I'd like to add elections to the future agenda items, if we can, please.
Elections.
For chair and vice chair. And then I would like to learn more about the gun intel.
Thanks, Angie. What is the next meeting? Number 16?
Yes.
I will have the gun intel
and I'm presuming that this is the unit that would investigate a lot of the students that have been occurring.
Well, you want the unit that responds out to the shootings, or do you want the intel people do like the right then?
Which they're
simple. Okay, you said educate. Help me understand.
Well, what are you looking for? I want to
just learning more about how we deploying the officers to the various shootings, who's doing the investigation, and kind of soups on it because there's been so many of them.
I'll have somebody, I'll talk to Captain Foster, and we'll get you somebody here to take you from shots ring out to presentation.
Oh, that'd be great.
And they can just explain all the different steps from patrol all the way through.
Okay, thank you.
So there's several steps in our gun crime response.
Okay.
It starts with patrol and their CRC units and PAC units and finding people. So that way we can just give you an overall of all of them, and then you can decide which of those you would like to come speak.
Okay. And then can you give us some physical information? I don't know if I'm just being bombarded with any of it to negativity and different stuff.
We can do that.
Yeah, just recently.
Captain Foster, maybe that. I was at a DSC meeting with the top officials before that. Last week. And Captain Foster was out when they talked about exactly what you just thought. So he's prepared, he's really well in the job.
Okay. And before we adjourn, I could just ask one question. I saw a bit on the news about these car racing things, and one car was on fire. What are they? I know was mentioned. I don't think for this recent one, but in past, is there a particular area where they seem to be?
It's citywide. They go all over, and that's really part of the problem. And the response to that is you can have 50 cars show up on the south side of an intersection. They cause problems. And they'll have another 50 show up, west side, east side. Then they move and they listen to the police radios. They know when we're responding, so then they can move around and adjust. And that's actually being discussed at Mayor Council right now, the technology that we're implementing to address the experience.
So people can talk about that in January? Sure.
You want January? You want street racing?
They were using that parking lot. If anybody's familiar with the Elkhorn parking lot, there are some areas on the north side, north of Home Depot, kind of, that nobody parks in, that they were doing some. So at the fifth almanac that we have, which will be tomorrow night, we had been talking to some of the immediate neighbors. We're talking about that, and I didn't know if it was still going on by down tomorrow night over there, or if there were other areas of cash.
It's all over the place. Any big open parking lot or a big intersection, and they're really just opportunists that move to different areas to avoid us. Yeah.
And then someone made a comment about sometimes people steal cars just to race them and destroy them.
Yes.
I'll make that land in the car.
I want to limit
this weekend, and on stretches of that road to go to Mount Lemmon, anytime there was like a parking space off to the side, you could see where people had done donuts there on the side of the cliff in Mount Lemmon.
It's a county problem also. It's in Phoenix. It's nationwide. You go online, you can see it. It's a problem nationwide that people are doing.
Yeah.
It's not only getting burnt by the vehicles. Now these folks are bringing firewood to these events. It's obviously a dangerous situation. Rick Brinton, I had sent out reports in office. I don't know, did you all get the copy of the DOJ Department of Justice report in Phoenix meeting that led to their consent decree? I had mentioned it for the last time we were here, and then I sent it again over there. Like, I got it over to your name, but I don't know if you guys got it.
We'll follow through.
Yeah, we'll follow. I'm not sure.
It's long. It's good reading. We'll see what they're looking at. So if there are complaints that they made, and how they respond to it. Thank you.
So if there's no other comments, we'll call this adjourned at 6:30. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.